Thanks so much, Daniel. Thank you. Please be seated. Oh, it's so fun to be back together with you. I wasn't actually planning to come right at the moment, but my sister needed me, and so came for a little while here, but it's just a real joy to see all your faces and get to be together again. God's so good. So today I'm going to talk about where is the right road and how do we find the path to go on. And I want you to start out and go to Psalm 25. And I'm going to be reading from the ESV today. And just we're going to look at some verses about the words for way and for path. God's ways, do you remember there's a figures of speech that in Hebrew it's called Derech B'nai Adam? It means the ways of the sons of men, and the Greek word is anthropopathia. But it's like God's characteristics are expressed in human terms. So the ways of the sons of men have to do with our life and how we live. And then there's another Hebrew word. That one was Derek, D-E-R-E-K. And then there's another word that's called Orach, O-R-A-K-H. And that means path, like a road, like an actual road. So what we're going to be looking at today is like, where is the road and how do we get on it so that we can live our path out? So Psalm 25, verse 4. It says, make me to know your ways. So that's direct. Make me to know your ways and teach me your paths, the road. Teach me the road, okay? Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, and for you I wait all day long. So there. Remember that verse in Isaiah that says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways are higher than your ways? So God's ways, his way of life, and what he exhorts us to do is greater, higher, better, super way. It's like a super highway. And that's what we want to know. What are his ways? And not our own thoughts, but we want to know what his ways are. So go down to verse 7 there. This chapter is full of this word way. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. In the way. And so good and upright are his ways. So just, you know, take a second and start thinking about what are some of God's ways, like how, what is he known for in his character? He's love, right? Says that he is full of loving kindness and compassion. His ways are always full of peace. They're full of joy. I mean, you can start thinking about all these different characteristics, right? So in verse 10, it actually says that all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and testimonies. His ways are always full of this steadfast love is what the ESV translates at it. Some others are loving kindness. And loving kindness, you think, it's a combination of love and kindness. And I think that's a great way to put it because God is always kind. He is not ever this guy with a sledgehammer coming down on us. He's always kind, but he's always full of love and that he guides us into this path that we're going to see. Look at verse 12. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. So we get to choose. It's like, I want to go in God's way. I want to find out what that way is. So our prayer becomes, teach me the way, teach me the path, show me how to do it. Make it known to me what way I should go now. And go on over to verse 13. His soul shall abide in well-being. Well, who doesn't want to abide in well-being? I do. And his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. The word friendship there, it really means like the intimate counsel. So we can have an intimate relationship with our God. And he's saying he will make known that to us if we fear him, if we reverence him. And he will instruct us in the way that we should go. There's a definition I read about what this word friendship is, or it's like intimate counsel, right? It means a close association and acquaintance and relating to the deepest relationship possible. When you think about, you know, a husband and wife being intimate, that's the deepest relationship in human terms that you can have, even trumps, you know, a child and parent relationship. But the really deepest possible relationship is what we can have with our Father. And so when you see that word, you just think of intimate counsel. And so that implies that there's a back and forth relationship, right? So part of this way that we're going to see more about has to do with this living in this kind of an intimate relationship. So now go over to Psalm 27 and verse 8. This is the one that Gino has that beautiful song about, seek your face. My Lord, I seek your face. Verse 8, it says, you have said, seek my face, and my heart says to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. So this is, you see that there's a response, right? When God invites us, he says he invites us to come into relationship with him. So then our response can be, yes, Lord, I want to seek your face. I want to be in your presence. Face always has to do with presence. Like if you're face to face with someone, then you're in their presence. You're right there with them. And then go over to verse 11. This is another verse about the path or the way, and it has both words in it. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. There's a level path, and that in Hebrew literally means a path or a road of plainness. This is not, this road that we can walk on with our God is not hard to find. When you know where to go and how to look for it, then it'll be right in front of us and it'll be a step-by-step thing. So what I want to share with you, like we've got a handout to pass out, and it's a picture of the tabernacle. So when we get that handed out, then I'll talk about it a little bit more, but we go over to our theme verse is John 14, verse 6. Because when it was right before the crucifixion, and Jesus was meeting with his disciples, and Thomas, in verse 5, he asks the Lord, he says, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? So that's the question of today. How can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we have the first key. It's Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. All right? But now look at your paper. This is a diagram of a simple diagram of what the tabernacle looked like, and the temple is like this too, where it had three basic parts. You had the outer court, and then you have the holy place, which is the first part there, and then the Holy of Holies. And when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," the people would have known that he was referring to the tabernacle, because the first gate, the open gate that was pretty wide on the bottom there, is the only way that you could get into the tabernacle was to go through that gate. And that gate was called the way. It was called the road. And what it led into was it led into the outer court. And all the people could go into it that far. And so the two things that were in the outer court, you can see, is the brazen altar, or the altar, and then the laver. And the laver was a really huge round bowl with water in it. And that's where the priests cleansed themselves before they did the sacrifices. But it was also the place where the people could be cleansed. So the very first thing you see is the altar. So the way, when Jesus says he's the way, the first thing is we have to recognize that he paid the price as the lamb and shed his blood on the altar for our forgiveness of sins. You meet, the very first thing is with the shedding of blood, there is remission of sins. And he paid the price once for all, so there would not have to be any more continuous sacrifices. That's what it says in Hebrews, is that he was the perfect sacrifice one time. And it's done. It's over. But every single person who believes on him has to understand that part first and believe that Jesus paid the price for their sins. And that in that price he paid was also the cleansing of the water. And how the water is like the living water that he talks about in the song that we sang earlier, about how if you drink of the living water, you'll never thirst again, because the living water leads to eternal life. The outer court is all about getting eternal life and getting saved. So we have to have that first, right? But now the curtain that separated the outer court from the holy place, it was called the truth. And so I go, well, why is it called the truth? There were three things inside the holy place, and there was a lampstand or the menorah. It was an eight candles in it, and so that represented light. Everything about the holy place has to do with our relationships, not only with God, but with each other, and what we do in our soul life, like how we live. So there's the menorah, and there's a table of the showbread, and there's an altar of incense. So the table of the showbread, it means, like when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Like he's the one who brings spiritual understanding to us by way of the word, by way of teaching, by way of him talking directly to us, by way of our fellowship with each other. We are nourished spiritually. And, remember the verse in Jeremiah about, "Thy words were found and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." So bread always has to do with nutrition. And we need that. And so we need to have these things that happen in the holy place. But they are more about our fellowship with each other and our relationship to God on a horizontal kind of basis. The altar of incense was representative of prayers. And you can see that if you want to jot it down, it's from Revelation 5:8, where incense going up is like the prayers of the saints going up. And the altar of incense was right in front of the last curtain. So it has to do with our prayers. So you have these three things. You have the light of the word, you have the bread of life, which is spiritual nourishment, and then you have the prayers. So you see how it's all about some of the things that we do in our relationship, not only with God, but with each other. If you look at Psalm 86, this is another verse about the way. Psalm 86, here we go. This is a great one. Verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Here we have this word truth. That's why this curtain is called truth. It's because God is leading us from the outer court, where it's all about salvation, and into the holy place, where it's about truth. It's about walking in his truth, his word, his life, everything about him, and making that our life. So when the psalmist is saying, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth, it's like, how do I get into that holy place? It's beyond just salvation. There are so many wonderful Christians, but they stay in the outer court. What God is inviting us to do is to go all the way into the Holy of Holies and to not stop. And also, there's a lot of Christians who just stay in the holy place. They like the fellowship. They love, you know, hanging out with each other. They have lots of programs. You know, we're going to teach our kids. We're going to do this. We're going to have outreach. Everything is about the relationship with each other in their lives, which is fine because that's the holy place and that's where truth is. But now God is inviting us to go to that last veil that only the high priest ever was able to go in. And when that veil was torn, that veil is called the life. And it made it possible for us to have a road into the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, there was the mercy seat, and there was the Ark of the Covenant surrounded by the cherubim. And it was the place where you could literally meet with God face to face. And nobody did, except for the high priest. But now, when the veil is open, the invitation to us is to go, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I want the life. I want to go all the way into that part of the tabernacle and feast there, like Sal's song is all about. See, it's come dine with me. There's that verse in Revelation 3 where, you know, Jesus is saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man open, I will come and sup with him. The invitation is there. But what we can do is that we can stand looking at the door and go, oh, what a beautiful door. Look at everything Christ did for me. It's just so awesome. And we're admiring it, right? It's not like we don't care. We already are saved. We've already been through the outer court. But we don't go in the door, because once you go in the door and you go through that veil, that's where the true spiritual life is. And the coolest part about the whole picture, even of the tabernacle, is now the Holy of Holies is big enough for every single believer all around the world can go in there all at the same time. And nobody is ever turned away. Ever. We're invited to do what Moses did, where it describes how Moses would go into the tabernacle and he would go into the Holy of Holies and he would commune with God. And God showed him all these amazing things about, you know, the type of what the tabernacle was going to be, was the type of what God would make available to the church. Nobody has ever had this before. So we should be just jumping up and down to go, wow, I this is amazing. I'm gonna go. I want to go all the way through here. I love the prayers. I love the word. I love the fellowship. I love all that. But I want to go in the Holy of Holies. And I want to go all the way through to that road. So that's how come our prayer can go back to the Psalms and say the same thing like David was saying. If you look at Psalm 85, just a little bit over back here, Psalm 85 and verse 7. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. We see God's loving kindness in the outer court. But as you keep on going through the way, the truth, and the life, then you get to really see what salvation is all about. It's about an intimate counsel type of relationship with our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 8 says, let me hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. He's near to us. But sometimes, you know, I don't know about you, but if I've got the altar of incense and I'm praying, I'm in the holy place, but then I don't hear anything. And I don't feel like I'm in the Holy of Holies because I can't hear. So what it's saying in this verse is about not turn back to folly has to do with having a divided heart. When our heart is divided, that's when we can't hear. And it's hard to have this intimate relationship because you're going, but I asked you what I'm supposed to be doing right now and I can't hear, you know, and it's a little bit of a frustration type of thing. So, what do we do? How do we, like, move through that to go through the veil to get into that close relationship again? And the key to it is to just break down the division that's going on in your heart and ask simpler questions. Instead of, what do I do about this? It's, how can I have a more peaceful heart, Lord? Do you love me? Every time you ask a question of God, like, do you love me? You will hear it right away. Yes, I love you, and I always will love you, and I will never let go of your hand. And then another question that he always answers is, God, are you there? Are you there? Just ask it right now. Then we start to hear with our spiritual ears and see with our spiritual eyes because we have Christ in us, which is a complete package on the inside. So there's Christ's eyes behind our eyes. There's Christ's ears behind our ears. There's Christ's hands behind our hands. And when we get tuned into that, he's the way, the truth, and the life. So he ushers us into that relationship with his Father. John 10:10. You guys could probably all quote it, okay? The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. It's not talking about my life, like me getting a life, an abundant life. It's talking about me being able to appropriate Jesus Christ's life. That's where there's joy, abundance, peace, everything else you can imagine. And so I am come that they might have, in essence he was saying, my life. Because that's the name of the veil, is life. And in order to get that kind of abundant life that it's talking about there, is we have to go into God's presence. And we can stand before the mercy seat knowing that the price has already been paid and the blood has already been sprinkled on it. And so it opened the road or the way into God's heart. Isn't that cool? It's just, it's open. And in Christ, there's this direct access. If you want to jot down too, like Romans 5, it says, when Jesus was raised, we were justified, and therefore we have access to God. And how about just flip over to Hebrews? Maybe we'll just end with this. Let's see. Hebrews 4, verse 15. Well, we could just start with 14 even. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. See, the Holy of Holies now is actually right next to the throne of God in the heavenlies. Because Jesus is seated there, right? Okay, well, we're seated right there with him. We're seated in the heavenlies. So this is not an earthly tabernacle. It's a spiritual tabernacle. And we have a great high priest who already paved the path to it. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So when we have a time of need, this is the main thing we should do, is go from the way to the truth to the life and go straight into God's presence and lay the need there before him, because he will always answer. Always. He never turns us away. I mean, he said that in the manifestations, basically, that he's always there. So I was thinking about just a little bit of an example about how Jesus always knows the way. He knows the way, in the road into the Holy of Holies, and he will actually lead us there. It's kind of like, GPS on your phone. If you type in an address and go, okay, Holy of Holies, then the phone will lead you to it, right? It'll step by step show you. And if you get lost somewhere along the way, it'll go, recalculating. It'll turn you and go, oh, no, stop that one. Just go this way instead. So it's kind of like the road has a GPS on it already, because Jesus paved the way to it. So when you have in your heart and you say, seek my face, you go, Lord, your face will I seek, your presence. I want to go. I don't want to just stay in the holy place. I don't want to stay in the outer court. Although all that is just wonderful. It's spectacular. It's how we get there. You have to go through that in order to get to the Holy of Holies. But the whole plan that God had, and why he even gave us this pattern in the Old Testament, was so that we would understand that his whole purpose in what he always wanted was to have children that would fellowship with him directly and have this intimate counsel with him on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis. So he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. But he has paved the way and the road, and it's clear. And so we never have to wonder how to go. Where is the right road? He is the right road. So, amen? All right. Sure. Father, thank you so much for how you've made available a way in to just have really sweet, intimate, wonderful counsel with you and this face-to-face relationship that wasn't available in the Old Testament to near the degree that it is now because of our wonderful Lord. And so thank you for blessing each person here and those listening on the call and on Facebook. Thank you for your love, your true loving kindness to us and how you've manifested it to us by way of your Son. And it's in his name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jan.